assume the chief constable is being ribbed at the Rotary or the dog fanciers, but he's become distinctly sarcastic about our lack of progress in running this latter-day Bluebeard to earth.
It's hardly fair, Governor. We're doing our best.
It may be hardly fair, but it happens to be true. I've never been this long on a case and still felt so ignorant of what or who I'm looking for. Or even where, for that matter. We still haven't found that cottage.
Inspector Pirbright.
What is it?
Well, there's that woman from Derby out here wanting to see you straight away. I told her you were busy, but she keeps saying, tell him it's about catching a crab. I think she's a bit dotty, if you ask me. Shall I get rid of her?
No, you shall not. If there's one thing I want to hear about, it's catching a crab. In any case, we've enough ladies being got rid of at the moment. Miss Huddleston, come in, please.
Inspector, it suddenly hit me.
Yes.
I was in the middle of weeding. I was going to write to you, then I was going to ring. I was in such a dither of excitement, I just left everything and ran to catch the train. I just ran all the way from the station here as well.
Sit down and get your breath.
Thank you.
Get Miss Huddleston a cup of tea, please, Mr. Fluke.
Yes, sir.
Now then, catch a crab. You've solved it?
Oh, came to me in a flash. You said to keep my mind working on it, and I have, and then, just when I was thinking of something else, there it was.
Off and the way.
Honestly, I'm so stupid, it should have hit me straight off.
Tell me.
Well, when we were children, Martha and me, and both living in Chalmsbury, we went for walks a lot and often brought back fruit and things for our mothers to make jam. Well, there was a cottage not far from my home, out towards Benston Ferry, and it had a big garden with fruit trees. An old lady lived in it then, and we noticed that she didn't pick the fruit much, so one day we knocked and asked if we could take some apples. She said, oh, they're just crabs, you know. So we said we wouldn't bother. Actually, we thought she must be funny in the head. And when I got home, I told my mother this funny old woman had made out that she had crabs in her garden, just as if it was the seaside. And, of course, Mother said, don't be so silly. She meant crab apples, and they're very good for making jelly. So back we both went, Martha and me, and got some, and the next year as well, and often had a good laugh over getting that idea about crabs. Of course, Martha would remember it straight away, and when this man took her to see it. It was called Brookside Cottage, and the last time I saw it, it had been done up a good deal and had a garage and that sort of thing. It stands on its own at the end of a lane, Mill Lane, I think we used to call it, about 2 miles out of Chalmsbury on the Benstone Road there now. That's a help, isn't it? I do hope it is.
Of course it is.
Just the sort of break we needed.
Will it help you to find poor Martha? Or whether she's...
It's the best bit of information we've had on this case so far. Now, presumably it's for sale, or has just been for sale, and that's why the man was able to use it.
No. Let's have a look on the ordnance survey. There we are, Miss Huddleston. That must be Mill Lane.
That's it. And there's the cottage.
Right, Sid.
Yes, Governor?
I want you to start ringing around the estate agent straight away. Start with the ones in Chalmsbury, and then onto the Flax ones, if you've no luck there.
Well, if we get a shift on, it's going on 4 now. I reckon those chaps knock up about 5:30.
As soon as we find out which one's handling it, we need to get a list with descriptions of anybody who's been to view the place in the past 2 months.
Right, Governor.
Miss Huddleston, I'm very grateful to you.
Not at all. Not at all. I just hope it prevents some other poor woman going the same way as... Well, it looks as if poor Martha's gone.
Good morning, and welcome to Handclasp House. Oh, why, it's Miss Tea Time, isn't it?
That is correct, Mrs. Daunch. I do hope you don't mind me dropping in out of the blue to see you like this.
Not at all. What can I do for you?
Well, I felt I ought to tell you that as a result of registering with you to find, well, a companion, a gentleman has been in touch with me.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that, Miss Tea Time. So nice of you to drop in and tell me. We do our best to please, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you haven't.
We haven't?
Not on this occasion.
Oh.
Of course, I hope there will be more than just one approach made to me, having paid you 20 guineas. But I hope that the others will be more suitable.
This one wasn't suitable?
Not at all. Oh. I really hate to complain or to be thought a difficult customer, but well... Oh, dear me, no.
Oh, dear.
I assume you or your husband between you make the matches, as it were.
That is correct.
Though I also assume that you never meet the gentleman. I mean, your husband interviews them, doesn't he?
Well, yes, but we work very closely together, of course.
Well, I wonder if you could tell your husband that I should like someone much more, how can I put it? More gentle.
Gentle.
Less hearty, less abrasive.
I see.
Yes. You see, I'm a very quiet, simple person and not at all worldly or sophisticated. I should like to meet someone like that. A man who has preserved, through the buffetings and disenchantments of life, a natural innocence. I don't mean a fool, mind you, though I've never laid any great store by intelligence in others, but a nice person who thinks well of people.
You don't mean gullible, surely?
I really don't mind on that score, being such a simple person myself.
Well, I'll discuss the matter with my husband, and we'll try to come up with a few gentlemen more to your liking.
Come in.
Inspector.
Hmm?
There's another woman wanting to see you.
Must be my lucky day.
Pardon, sir?
Never mind. What's her name?
Well, it's that Miss Tea Time, sir.
Well, don't keep her waiting outside, ma'am. Show her in.
This way, please, Miss Tea Time.
Miss Tea Time, what a pleasant surprise. Will you have some, well, tea?
No, thank you, Inspector. I really am in a fearful hurry.
Thank you, Mr. Pook.
I just wanted a moment of your time. No more.
Well, then.
I have given some further thought, Mr. Pirbright, to the matter we discussed the other morning, and I have decided that I might have been just the tiniest bit overconfident in one respect. And so, for the sake of everyone concerned, my friend by no means least, I intend to try and give you an actual example of his writing.
I see.
It will be best, do you not think so?
I'm sure it will.
Do you know, I really think you are anxious about me, Mr. Pirbright.
Well, I am.
There is no need to be.
Look, won't you tell me now the name of this man?
I'm sorry, but I must ask you to wait a little longer. Where can I reach you at 8 o'clock this evening?
At 8 o'clock? At home, I hope. Why?
What is the address?
15 Tetford Drive.
15 Tetford Drive. Thank you. And now, may I borrow that photograph? The one of the suspect's handwriting, you know?
Oh, yes, of course. Here you are.
Thank you so much.
I hope you know what you're doing, Miss Tea Time.
Oh, yes, I know very well.
Good evening, Mr. Lintz. You're early. Finished writing your newspaper already, have you?
Nothing to write, Jim. I'll have a large one.
You'll have it with me.
Oh, that's very kind of you. No, they say no news is good news, but it's disaster for the likes of me. If I can't find interesting things to print, then the people don't buy papers. If people don't buy the paper, the advertisers don't buy the space. And then I shall be looking for another job. Cheers.
Good health. And cheer up. Something's bound to happen. Nice juicy murder's what you need. Nothing new on these missing women, I suppose?
Nothing. Police are no further forward. Here, you don't think...
What?
You don't think that woman that's staying here, your Miss... Think of it,
Miss Tea Time?
Yeah. You don't think old Pirbright's interest in her has anything to do with that case, do you?
No. Oh, no.
Wonder what they're after her for, then. Did she pay her bill up to date?
No, no. You don't press people like that, money, George.
People like what?
Well, I don't know as I should tell you. You being editor of a newspaper and always on the lookout for gossip and celebrities and that.
Oh, have I ever betrayed a confidence?
Well,
I mean, when you told me that Alderman Bates' new wife had once been a bunny girl, did I betray your confidence?
You were round there quick enough to interview her, and with a photographer.
Just doing my job. But I never let on it was you who told me, did I?
Not in so many words.
Oh, come on, then. What's the lowdown on this one?
Well, you've heard of Tea Time Engineering?
No.
What? You've never heard of Tea Time Engineering?
Of course I have. Must have done. You just slipped my mind, so.
Well, that's her. She is Tea Time Engineering.
Get away.
True as I'm standing here. The police aren't following her. They're bodyguarding her.
fancy.
Worth all that money, you see.
Hey, oh, talk of the devil, here she comes.
Ah, good evening, Miss Tea Time.
Good evening, Mr. Maddox.
Can I get you anything?
Well, now, I never know the names of things. I wouldn't say no to the same as this gentleman has. It looks very nice, I must say.
But that's...
Are you quite sure, Miss Tea Time?
Yes, it looks most refreshing.
One large whiskey coming up. You'll have it with me, I trust.
Thank you. Most kind. Mr. Maddox, I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation with Mr...
This is Mr. Lintz.
George.
Editor of the Flaxborough Citizen.
Ah, I'm a keen reader of yours.
Really?
Oh, yes, cover to cover. Mr. Maddox, I'd like a word in private with you, if Mr. Lintz will excuse us for a moment.
By all means, Miss Tea Time.
Oh, you know my name.
I'm going to sit down anyway. Been on my feet all day.
Oh. Now, Mr. Maddox, I wonder if I can trouble you to do something for me.
Of course, Miss Tea Time.
Well, I had intended to do this myself, but I have another engagement and I may not be back in time. It's this envelope. If I'm not back by 8 o'clock this evening, would you mind popping it round to Inspector Purbright's house? The address is on the envelope.
I should be delighted.
You really are so kind. Cheers.
Your very good health.
Ah.
Miss Tea Time.
8 o'clock. You won't get...
You can rely on me, Miss Tea Time.
Au revoir.
Yes. Good evening.
Blimey.
See that?
Arranged it in one.
Oh, never even touched the sides.
I have a feeling there's more to your Miss Tea Time than you know.
That's the last of them, Governor. I've phoned every flippin' estate agent in Chalmsbury, Flaxborough and districts, and all I've got for it is a sore throat. Snooty lot, most of them and all. If Brookside Cottage is for sale, nobody in the property trade seems to know about it.
No, well, we had to check.
Would you like me to walk out to Benston and ask at the cottage?
Oh, not now, Sid. Leave it till morning.
Right.
I'll tell you what you can do, though. Give the country boys a ring at Chalmsbury and see if old Larch is in a good enough mood to get you the name of the occupants. It'll save you asking at the door when you go. You'd better say it's for me.
Yes, I better. Right, grumpy old beggar he is. Treats anything less than a superintendent as if it was a slug on his lettuces. And that's the way he treats the public. Well, he... Oh, hello? Chalmsbury Police Station? Could I speak to Inspector Larch, please? Honestly, I hate talking to him.
So did I, Sid. That's why I have a detective sergeant to assist me.
Inspector Larch? It's Detective Sergeant Love here at Flaxborough. I'm phoning on behalf of Inspector Purbright. He was wondering if you could inform us of the name of the present occupants of Brookside Cottage, Mill Lane. It's out by Benstone Ferry. Yes, I realise that. No, I'm sure you must be. Yes, we can find out ourselves. It's just that... Right, sir. Thank you. Yes. I'm sure Inspector Purbright would be very grateful if he could do that, sir. Thank you very much. Hello? Much.
What did he say?
Says he's up to his eyebrows in work. As if he didn't say eyebrows. And do we think he's nothing else to do other than run round making inquiries for us? Makes it sound as if there's a regular crime wave raging in Chalmsbury.
You probably interrupted him reading an article in the Shooting Times. Mm. Thinks of nothing else. I mean, pigeon fanciers, I can understand, but he's a clay pigeon fancier.
Anyway, he says he'll do his best and phone back in a couple of hours.
Well, I'd better report the day's findings to the Chief Constable, and then we can wrap it up for the night. You never know, that Miss Tea Time might come up with something.
Who is it?
It is I, Commander. Lucy. Good evening.
Well, well. Come alongside, shipmate. So you found my little surprise cottage in the country all by yourself. I found your surprise, too.
I think we had better go inside, Mr. Trelawney.
I think we had.
Well, at least you've solved the catch a crab, Mr. Purbright. Or rather, this woman from Derby solved it for you. Brookside Cottage. Doesn't seem to be on the market, you say?
Not as far as we can find out, sir. It may well be that this... man was passing that way, saw it, thought it would serve his purpose, and just decided to make use of it without the owners knowing. In Miss Reckitt's letter, she said that they were only able to view it from a distance as the people were still living in it.
That's simply dreadful, what some people will do. I mean, strangers home, no respect for property at all.
Well, not much respect for life either, sir.
No, I suppose not.
I don't suppose Deirdre or Felicity, whichever one of them is presently chewing on my calf, could possibly be persuaded to try their rubber bone instead, sir?
Benson Basket! Really, Pirbright, can't tell a dog from a bitch now.
As a preliminary to our discussion...
Oh, it's to be a discussion, is it? How nice. Will you begin, or shall I?
Please don't be childish. I was saying that as a preliminary, I should like to ask you not to use any more of those Jolly Jack Tar expressions. I have suffered a number of courtships in my life, but never before one which has made me seasick.
You'll have something worse than seasickness to worry about before I finish with you, woman.
Threats will serve the interest of neither of us. They are ill-mannered and unbusinesslike.
Oh, I suppose that as a professional swindler, you're all for the smooth approach.
There you go again, Mr. Trelawney. Abuse will get us nowhere.
What did you come here for?
For compensation, Mr. Trelawney. I do not consider that I have been fairly treated.
You don't consider...
No, please let me finish. Your intention was to acquire a valuable motorboat by handing to a distressed family a cheque which you knew to be worthless. It was a very shabby design, which was thwarted thanks only to my having invented both the boat and the family's distress. Thus, your gain was an easy conscience, and it was I who accomplished it.
But what did I get in return?
No one can compute the worth of an easy conscience. It is a priceless commodity. And so, when I decided to draw a fee that would little more than cover my expenses, it hurt rather than embarrass me to find that you had lied about putting £500 at my disposal. For that hurt, I believe I am fully entitled to recompense, and if you will now be good enough to write me a cheque, a genuine cheque this time, for £500, I shall be much obliged, Mr. Trelawney.
All right. Joke over. Now, just what is it you think you're up to?
This is not a joke, Mr. Trelawney. I have told you quite simply what I require.
Do you mean to say that you have the bloody neck to come out here and try and drag money out of me after what's happened?
I do.
You know what you are, don't you? You're a prissy-mouthed, four-eyed, chiseling bitch, and you can go to hell.
If you really feel that we have arrived at the exchange of compliments stage, I can only assure you that the choice between an hour of your company, Mr. Trelawney, and being sown for a week in a sack of discarded boil dressings would be by no means easy to make.
Cow!
I advise you not to waste further time on thinking up expletives. You lack the talent. If you will write me out that cheque at once, a great deal of trouble will be avoided. For you in particular.
Go on. This trouble. Tell me.
I happen to know, although I claim no personal credit for this, that you have already successfully imposed on the credulity of at least two other women. I know their names. One was called Reckitt, the other Bannister. And I know that the police are looking for the man who engineered their disappearance. For you, in fact.
Go on.
Now, here is the amusing thing. The only reason why you have not been arrested is that I have personally vouched for your integrity. There now. What do you think of that?
What the hell do you mean?
Oh, dear, you are so curmudgeonly.
What did you tell them?
That you are a bluff and honest sea dog, of course. A sincere suitor. A gentleman whose handwriting bears not the faintest resemblance to that of the villain, whose letters to poor Mrs. Bannister have been discovered by the police.
In other words, you thought you'd set up a nice little line in blackmail.
Your moral judgments are as odious as your maritime metaphors. Kindly keep both to yourself.
I don't believe this nonsense about letters.
Here you are, then. See for yourself. A police photograph of one of the letters.
You say you've told them this isn't my handwriting.
Emphatically.
And that Commander Jack Trelawney's a fine chap who wouldn't hurt a fly.
By a great effort of will, yes.
So,
I am not suspected of the awful crimes which the police imagine have been committed.
No.
Ah.
Oh, dear. You are so woefully transparent, Jackie boy.
Am I?
You are saying to yourself, knock this lady off as well and all will be hunky-dory.
It does seem a damn good idea.
What of this other lady? One refuses to be followed. You say she's not so sure now about the handwriting?
No, sir. She's a remarkable woman. Can't quite make her out, but it wouldn't surprise me if she came up with something.
Come in!
It's Inspector Pirbright, sir. Mr. Maddox is here with a message for you, Governor.
Ah, sir, do you mind if I...
No, not at all. Ask Mr. Maddox to come in here, Sergeant Love.
This way, Mr. Maddox. Good evening, Inspector. Ah, Mr. Chubb.
Maddox.
Thanks, Ed.
Inspector... A guest of mine, a Miss Teatime of Teatime Engineering, you know. You met her the other day, I believe.
Yes, I know Miss Teatime.
Well, she asked me to give you this, Inspector, if she wasn't back at the hotel by 8 o'clock.
Thank you very much.
A bit premature, aren't you, Maddox? My watch has called past 7.
Well, I suddenly remembered I wouldn't be able to deliver the envelope after 8 o'clock because I've a function on. So I thought I'd better play safe and fetch it round here for him before he left.
Hmm. Curious, Inspector.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Maddox.
Well, good night, you.
Good night, Chief Constable.
Well, Mr. Pirbright?
Well, indeed, sir. My dear Inspector Pirbright, the enclosed letters unexpectedly came to hand today. They were written by my friend who calls himself Commander John Trelawney. You will see that I was mistaken about the handwriting. I can plead only that loyalty clouded my judgment. His address is not known to me at the moment, but I have no doubt that Mrs. Staunch will be able to give you the information you need. As you will notice, the reference number is 4122. Yours sincerely, Lucilla Teatime.
Goodness. And is the handwriting the same?
It certainly is.
So that means that this Trelawney fellow is the man you're after?
Apparently.
So, all you have to do is go round to the marriage bureau, get hold of this staunch woman, and find out the address of this 4122 fella. You don't seem very excited about it.
It isn't quite as simple as that, sir. You see, all the numbers at the bureau have 3 digits. Odd numbers for the women, evens for the men. This has 4 digits. It certainly won't be in the files.
I really don't think that killing me would be such a good idea, you know.
Oh, yes. Damn good idea. In fact, I'm sold on it.
No, I do not think you are, really. Already there has crept into that incommodious mind the realization that I should never have been fool enough to come here without taking some precautions.
Oh? And what precautions?
It is in the form of a time limit. If I am not back at my hotel by 8 o'clock, the police at Flaxborough will receive a packet containing your letters.
And my name and address, no doubt.
No, just the means of learning them with singularly little trouble.
How little?
Simply a peep into the files of that excellent matrimonial bureau, Jack dear. Or should I say, Mr. 4122? You find that amusing? I really don't think...
Come in, my dear, come in.
Mrs. Staunch.
Surely you didn't imagine that my husband's name would be on the files, Miss Teatime.
You don't look so cocksure of yourself now, do you?
But listen to 4122. I think a burglar must have lifted it.
Her car. Get it out of sight somewhere. And come straight back. I want you to stay with her while I, see to things.
Quick as you can, Sid.
Where are we going, Governor?
Benstone Ferry, the cottage. Brookside Cottage.
I'm going there in the morning.
We're going there tonight.
Well, what's the rush?
Large finally saw fit to phone back. I now know who the owner of Brookside Cottage is.
You really are both being very silly, you know, Mrs. Staunch. Or is it Mrs. Trelawney? Both you and your jolly Jack Tar husband. You can't possibly get away with this.
I don't see why we shouldn't, Miss Teatime. And whether we do or not, you won't know anything about it, will you?
Right, so I'm ready. Come on, you.
I feel, perhaps, that I ought to warn you.
You don't warn me of anything, lady.
You've been more than enough trouble to me already. You just shut your mouth and come with me.
Oh, dear, so cold.
Come on.
Will you please take your hands off me?
Get up there. Go on. Shut the doors after me, will you? Don't want the light spilling out.
All right, Don. God! Who is it?
It's the police! Oh. Open up at once, please!
What on earth?
Now then, Mrs. Staunch.
Inspector Pearlbright, what is the meaning of this?
Where is Miss Teatime?
Miss who?
Your client, Miss Teatime. I have reason to believe she came here to see your husband.
Why on earth should she want to see my husband? He has nothing whatever
is
to do...
Is he in, Mrs. Staunch?
Not at the moment, no.
Both cars in the garage, Goof.
Well, Mrs. Staunch?
I think he's gone to post a letter. But I'm not going to stand here and have questions fired at me without knowing the reason for them. What authority have you got to come trampling your way in here anyway?
We suspect a felony, Mrs. Staunch.
Oh.
That may be a somewhat stuffy answer, but it will have to serve, at least until your husband returns, which I trust will not be long. How far away is the postbox?
At the end of the lane.
Odd that we didn't see him.
There's a path from the back. It's quicker.
I might as well tell you now that we shall probably ask your husband to return to Flaxborough with us.
What on earth for?
We think he may be able to help us with our inquiries.
You don't have to use that jargon with me, Inspector. That just means that you think he's done something. What, Bill? Why can't you say? And for God's sake, what's all this about that Teatime woman?
If, as you say, she's not been here, you have no need to worry on her account, Mrs. Staunch.
Yes, but why did you...
Somebody's coming from the back, Governor. Through the kitchen.
Don, there are two policemen here asking a lot of silly questions. We're in the lounge. I wish you'd come and tell them that...
Good evening again, Mrs. Staunch.
Oh!
Well, I don't usually have that effect on people. Good evening, Inspector. How nice to see you.
Where's Don? Where's my husband? Damn you, you bitch! Where's Don?
Hold her, Sid.
Now then, Mrs. Staunch, you just sit there.
I'm afraid he's in that cesspool thing down the garden.
Oh.
I really am very sorry. But it was his idea entirely to go waltzing about in the dark with his arms round my waist. The cover was off, you know. Really, Inspector... I bloody nearly fell in myself.
In Lonely Heart 4122 by Colin Watson, Inspector Pearlbright was played by John Rowe. Detective Sergeant Love was Paul Downing. Miss Teatime was Linda Gardner. Mortimer Hive was Simon Carter. And the Chief Constable was Geoffrey Banks. Spain was played by Peter Wheeler. Trelawney by John Branwell. Leaper by Rennie Kropinski. And Evelyn and Maisie by Susan Sheridan. Cambridge and Lintz were played by Nigel Carrington. Beach by Richard Cole, Mrs. Staunch by Anne Rye, The Receptionist and the Italian Girl by Victoria Finney, and Phyllis by Judy Holt. Kappa was Keith Clifford, Rusk was Malcolm Rayburn, Singleton was Neville Barber, Maddox was Peter Rylands, and Miss Huddleston was Daphne Oxenford. Lonely Heart 4122 was dramatised for radio by Christopher Dennis, and the director was Tony Cliff.